Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio and my YouTube channel, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. I am your host and guide, Jijapa Maria Ensaroma. And wow, y'all, wow, we have come to the final month of 2019. We should all be clapping. This has been an incredible, incredible year. And December is the third and final fire month of this mind-blowing, transformative mineral year of clarity, confidence, and courage. You know, in many places around the world, 'tis the season to be jolly, to remember our humanity through religious holidays, and participate in the spirit of giving. The year 2020 heralds the beginning of a new decade, an era that promises radical and dynamic evidence that we as a human species are evolving and have evolved probably a little more than what we really allow ourselves to accept. Yeah. So my theme for this month is preparation for 2020. I want to close out 2019 reverently. Yes. So I'm inviting you to join me on a spiritual and emotional journey through five personal challenges using the Dagra medicine wheel. So we'll be going through fire, water, earth, mineral, and nature elements to take on some good healing that's going to help us really be ready for all of this new and powerful shifting that 2020 promises. So tonight, I am going to spill on the challenge of forgive yourself and others. But first, for those of you who may be listening or watching the first time, let me give you a brief overview of my program of Wisdom Walk. It is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is anything that is not transformed will be transferred. So the initial goal of my shows is to support you in learning how to recognize and release any and all pain that may be blocking you from your happy endings in life, also what's called fulfillment in life. I broadcast live every Sunday night at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, unless, like the 2 weeks prior, previously, I was out of town doing some consultant work, or of course, if something unexpected occurs. I also want you to know, for some reason, when you are listening to this over the internet and you have a problem with your Wi-Fi, you can listen to the live broadcast over the phone. And here's that number. It's area code 563-999-3089. Now, I will upload a video of the broadcast on Tuesdays to my YouTube channel, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. And you can ask questions, make comments on my website, which is www.wisdomwalktoselfmastery.com. And of course, if you're watching this as a YouTube, you can do all of that in the comments box below the video. But right now, I invite you to just sit, lay back, and open yourself up for an exploration of your inner landscape where you can connect to your soul and discover the true treasure of being human. Now, I always begin my programs by honoring the ancestors. And that's so important because these are the people whose shoulders we're standing upon. These are the people for whom, if they hadn't lived, we wouldn't live. And I recently saw the film Harriet about the great Harriet Tubman, and it was such just a wonderful, wonderful reminder about the fact that, you know, people really made some serious sacrifice and did some really courageous things for us to be here today and to be valuing freedom, to know that it is not okay to think that one human being can own another human being or even dispose of another human being. And Harriet Tubman was one of the many, many, many people, but she was an outstanding person who really brought that home, brought that chicken home to roost. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago. It really wasn't that long ago. We're talking like, you know, 1860s, you know, just about 150, maybe now 160 years ago. So it hasn't been that long. And it's important for us to remember that, you know, there were people doing things, being things that got us to where we are. And so I want to honor that. And because my theme tonight is about forgiveness, I thought it would be great to take a moment and call up those ancestors for forgiveness, because we need help with that. Yeah, it's a really, really probably one of the most challenging things to consciously take on and do. So take a deep breath in and breathe out. And now open your mind up to connect with your ancestors, those people who were on this earth plane but no longer are, those people who are able to be a guide to you if you so choose, if you open yourself to that. I know I wouldn't be here without them in the position that I'm in. I know that. So join me as I invoke the ancestors and ask for their help around the practice of forgiveness. Creator, Mother, Father, God, Source, all the one, all that is, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for your blessing and your mercy in our lives and for yet another opportunity to open up our mind, our hearts, and our spirits to being served by the ancestors. Creator, thank you so much for making these wonderful, wonderful, loving beings be of service to us who are still here on this earth plane, still growing, evolving, still learning. And we need all the help we can get to become the best version of ourselves, to really step into our purpose in a very heartful and heart-meaning way. And so we know we can't do it alone. Our intellect isn't big enough. Our egos are too much of a barrier. And so we need the help of the ancestors. And so, Creator, with your support, I call on those ancestors saying, ancestors, 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 we call upon you, you who can see in all directions at once, you for whom problems here are not problems there. And we invite you to come close to us as we open ourselves up to the practice of forgiveness. This is a very hard thing to do, and sometimes we can't even imagine that we have the ability to do it. But we need your help to get us to understand how important it is to do it and to know that we can receive the grace of forgiveness just by being willing and open to having it show up. So come close to us, be with us, guide our every step on this path to forgiveness. And Creator, once again, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you for the ancestors. And I ask and thank you for the blessing of all this in the name of all that is holy. I say amen. Asheo ho asa shingo bismilan. So it is. All right. Now, I am so excited about the elemental and astrological information that is going on this month. There's a lot of stuff, and you know, it is, and it's not just the ending of the year. We're dealing with the ending of a decade, yeah, and not just any decade. It's like it's the end of, you know, the second decade in this 21st century. So it's pretty significant. So let me start off with the elemental wisdom. And for those of you who may not know what that means, see this side. See that little book there behind me? It's called The Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery, and I will flash it at the end of the video. And those of you who are listening, referring to my book, The Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery, because in there I explain about the Dagra medicine wheel and its importance in helping us get balance and to transform our pain rather than transfer it. And so each of those elemental energies also can help guide us during our week. And so this week, starting on Tuesday, because January 1st came about on a Tuesday in 2019, this Tuesday is December 3rd, and we are going to have a nature week. until the 9th, until Monday. So here's the opportunities that are available to us this coming week and what we can put our attention on to help us. And it's all about being flexible. Yeah. It's about trusting the process, surrendering the attachment to your plan. You know, when we make up what we think is the best way for our dreams to come true, we are sure to be disappointed. I think it was Ayanna Van Zandt's quote that she said, "You want to make God laugh? You tell God your plans." Yeah. So we need to trust that the universe, with its unknowable ability to make things happen in the right way and at the right time, is more powerful than your brain or that of any other human. Want it to be right for you more than just wanting it. Let go of trying to figure it all out. Do what is right in front of you to do at the present time and know that more will be revealed. Connect with the magical and tricky energy of the nature element, whether that is in the form of plants, trees, flowers, animals, or humans. And this will help you accept the greater order and direction that you are being asked to experience, especially this week. Yeah. So again, flexibility, being flexible. Now, with every opportunity, there comes distraction, things that can pull us off of, you know, being able to carry out this wisdom. And so here are the distractions that you want to be on the lookout for. One is being arrogant or stubborn. Yeah, thinking you really know it. Stay away from that. Attempting to change a no into a yes. Yeah, and for those of you who are into selling insurance or any kind of sales, if you come across a no, accept it and move on. Because if you accept your no, you will eventually get to your yes. Don't waste time trying to change a no into a yes. Perceiving things as win-lose. Yeah, big distraction. Despairing and trying to go back to a place that you know best. Meaning being afraid, right? Being afraid of moving forward, trying to squeeze back through that hole, I call it. And then last but not least, beating yourself up for situations and or outcomes over which you have no control. Yeah. Yeah. There are many, many things in life we have choices about, but there are some things that we really don't have any control over, and that's usually other people. And so, yeah, we need to be able to accept that and focus on the only thing that we can change, which is ourselves. Now, next Tuesday, after this week, on the 10th of December, we'll be moving into an Earth Week, a time to give support and pay it forward. And I'll tell you more about that in the next program. Now, astrological. And I'm probably going to be talking about this all month long because it's just really big, wonderful stuff. And it's so cool that, you know, the astrologists have this stuff all mapped out. I just really, really like the science of astrology. So what's going on that has everybody like, is that on January the 12th of 2020, Saturn and Pluto are going to conjunct in the sign of Capricorn. Now, what's a conjunction? So a conjunction is when you have two planets. Now remember, everybody's rotating around the sun, right? We're all rotating around the sun. Earth and Neptune, Jupiter, Pluto, everybody going around the sun. But not everybody goes around the sun at the same rate and in the same way. So conjunction is when you have two different planets actually coming very close together, they're meeting together very close, and the the horoscope sign is the part of the sky in which they're meeting. So, you know, astrologers have mapped out the sky according to the horoscope. And so check this out. It takes Saturn 29 of our years to complete its orbit around the sun. It takes Pluto, you ready for this? 248 years to complete its transit around the sun. Yeah. So for the two of them to actually come together to conjoin, that doesn't happen often. I think it's about once every 33 to 38 years that kind of happens. So in the past, when the Saturn-Pluto conjunction has occurred, there has been some great shift for humanity. Like one has to do with the beginning of World War One, and the time period for World War One was during one of those conjunctions. So, as you can understand, the astrologers are like, wow, what is coming? What's going to be happening? You know, because that World War shook up humanity in a way it hadn't been before. They called it the war to end all wars. And so this isn't necessarily forecasting a war, but it definitely isn't saying something is going to happen that's going to shake humanity up, wake us up more, help us learn something we need to learn. So in December, what's going on is that those two planets are starting to come really close, right? So we're going to be starting to feel the energy of that. So there are like 11, 12 different aspects astrologically, astronomically that are going on that are significant. And this week coming up, there are three of them that I will tell you about. But eventually, you know, there's going to be a solstice, right, because we're moving from the fall into the winter, and so we'll have equal days night and equal days day as the sun begins to now start rising up in the northern hemisphere, and it's the opposite, of course, in the southern hemisphere. But there's also going to be a new moon total solar eclipse. Yeah. On Christmas, on the 25th to the 26th. Very interesting. So anyway, this week, here's what's going on. Tomorrow, on December the 2nd, Jupiter enters Capricorn, the sign of Capricorn. Because right now we're in Sagittarius, but Capricorn comes after that. But the planet of Jupiter is in that position in the sky for Capricorn. Now, this is one of the most important transits of the year, because Jupiter only changes signs once a year. So it was in Sagittarius, now it's in Capricorn. And when it does, the astrologers say, it always brings changes in your life. So starting tomorrow, be on the lookout for something to change. And in a good way. In a good way, like something you've been waiting for, something you've been anticipating. If it is something that shows up that is not what you want and it's disappointing, it's heartbreaking, just know that that is going to turn into treasure for you eventually. And try to hold that perception of it, because whether it is what we call good or bad, it definitely is going to bring change. So that's tomorrow. Then, the next day, on Wednesday, and let me just jump back. Like I said, I'm so excited. I'm so excited about between the elemental and the astrological, because Tuesday begins a nature week, right? And it's also, Tuesday begins a nature week. Monday astrologically is about big change. And of course, nature is about change. And so both elementally and astrologically, it's saying, yeah, some change is coming. And so again, being flexible, that reminder to be flexible, to open up, go with the flow, be in the learning mode, because things are shifting. Then the last one for this week will be next Sunday, and I'll mention it again. But that is, oh, wait, I'm sorry, I skipped one. So on the 3rd, on Wednesday, I get so excited about this stuff, oh, my God. On the 3rd, this is really, really, really cool, really cool, because this is Venus conjuncting the south node of the moon in Capricorn. What does that mean? That means that Venus, which is the evening star, doing this conjunction with the south node in Capricorn, symbolizes the essence of love. Honest, wise, mature, enduring, everlasting. So what we really, really want love to be. Okay? And so if you want to know what love is, the astrologers are saying that during this time on December 3rd, it's a really good time to find out. So some of that shifting, that big change that is coming for some of us, it can be in the area of love and pure love showing up. Yeah, very, very interesting. Now, the last one, again, is this next Sunday coming up. And this is the sun being square to Neptune at Pisces. What does that mean? Well, this astrologer says the sun is our identity and Neptune is the planet of transcendence. Sounds like growing to me. And she says to grow, to evolve, we have to continuously reinvent ourselves. The sun square Neptune is one of those transits that will help us see beyond the limitations of our ego, yes, and beyond the limitations of what we've been told is possible. In reality, you can be whoever you want to be, even if in the process you'll have to lose your current self. Yeah. Yeah. So again, back to like this change, this transcendence, this, you know, something new showing up, becoming something new, becoming something more, you know, all of this energy really, really being about that for this week. So we're starting off the month of December in this place of change. Change is coming, new is coming, you know, and asking us to be open to that. Very, very, very exciting. Now, for some of us, if we are attached and holding on to something, it will be a little painful because none of us likes to let go, you know. None of us likes to have to let go. But hopefully, again, you can hold to the perspective that I'm being asked to let go because there's something more coming for me. There's something new coming for me. And that can make it a lot easier. Wow. So there you have it for the astrological report. And that information I was sharing with you comes from an astrologer named Astro Butterfly. You can definitely find her online. And just as a reminder about October being the second Earth month, so the 22nd of every month is Earth Day, and so the 22nd of December, I'm claiming as Earth Day, and we'll remind you about doing something to support and love on the Earth at that time. Great. Okay. Here we are at about the halfway mark, and so I want to move into tonight's program. I'm going to begin talking more about the year 2020 from a societal, you know, ecological, economical perspective, and why we need to prepare, and especially why we need to prepare at a spiritual, emotional level. Then I'll dive into forgiveness, do some spill about forgiveness as releasing pain, why that's important. I'll then give you a contemplative question section, what I call my contemplative spill. And then I will encourage you to do a fire ritual and give you information for that. So my opening quote, and my opening quotes all month long are going to be from my book, The Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery, alongside right over there. And this one is about forgiveness. And I say, forgiveness as a divine energy, once received, infuses every cell of your body, every quantum wave of your emotional psyche with pure, unconditional love. To receive the grace of forgiveness, you only need to be willing. So, the importance of 2020. I pulled this also from an astrologer named Gray Crawford, and this is from astrology.com, an article he did about predictions for 2020. And I really like this because I think he kind of summarizes what the challenge or what the expectation is about this new decade, this new era that we're about to enter into. And he says, 2020 is the beginning not only of a new decade, but a new astrological era. As with any birthing process, the year will involve enduring labor pains in order to introduce a new life. The year 2020 is a threshold to cross, a pause between the way it has been and the way it will be, necessitating a confrontation with all the difficult challenges in need of a remedy within civilization. There's nothing easy about the transits of 2020, yet they also contain a potent force, he says, within the dissolution and volatility they will incite. So again, things falling apart, things breaking up. By actively asserting the role you wish to play in molding the world to come, the test you will face in 2020 will help you cultivate new levels of inner strength as well as new skills to share with others. I just love that. I think he just, he encapsulated it all. You know, it's like, yeah, we're growing as a human species. Here's why we're growing. Here's what's coming. Here's why it's coming. You know, it's like, bam, all in there. I really, really think that's so important for us to understand. Another way to look at this is think about 100 years ago. It was the beginning of the 1920s. And the 1920s comes, of course, after the world comes out of the worst war ever, you know, the war to end all wars. And so the 1920s, it's called the Jazz Age because the theme was, let's go party and play. You know, we've had so much death and so much dying and so many horrific things. Like, let's just go play now. We're just going to go play. And unfortunately, the playing only lasted about 9 years because, bam, the Depression hit. And through the Depression, it leads to another world war. So now, here we are at 2020, and here's what's different. We have accepted the end of a fear-centered, ecology-destroying industrial age and its related institutionalized beliefs that upheld human injustice. So the theme, I believe, that modernity, modern humans are about for this 2020 decade is let's go to work to create a better world. You know, the party and we'll do later, right? We need to go to work. We need to get a better world because there's so much going on. You know, we're not in a world war. We're definitely in a war between the old and the new. And so the focus is about let's make a better world. And we're also living in a time where there is now a global consciousness that didn't exist 100 years ago. You know, 100 years ago, like, Americans didn't go to Europe. the way they really discover Europe is through the world wars, you know, because people had come, they were immigrants and they were here, and, you know, through the world war that people get over to Europe. You know, it's the first time black people get over to Paris, you know, and have a good time. So, again, so 100 years ago, it was kind of discovering other parts of the world, you know, to say, okay, there's more than America, or Europe was saying, oh, yeah, maybe those Americans got a little something for us. But it just now is, it's open, right? It's open. Like, we're aware of indigenous cultures and that they matter as well, too. So what this all means is that big, big change is here and more is coming in terms of who we are as a human species, who we are on this planet together, and what is it we want to do. You know, the fires in the Amazon brought attention from people around the world. There are also fires in Africa, which also require attention, too, because these are like jungle areas, this beautiful ecological systems that are burning and that we depend on as a human species in ways that we just aren't even aware enough of how much we rely on them. And so, you know, all of that is saying that, yeah, something's got to change, something's got to change. So we need to prepare for a whole different way of being in this world. We need to prepare for choosing love over fear. We need to master that. Master that. Excuse me for 1 second. Get some water. So to do that, to do this mastering of love over fear, we have to be connected to our soul on a daily basis. And if you just take that, those thoughts alone, you can think about, well, what has to shift then in all of the current institutions, whether it's family, whether it's religion, whether it's our work environment, whether it's our social environment, whether it's our physical communities, how they're organized, how they're set up. Yeah. There's a lot that needs to be done, a lot that needs to be done. So choosing love over fear means that you have to take on learning what love is. Yeah. And love beyond a romantic feeling. But what does it really mean to love yourself and to be able to share that love with other people? What does that really mean? And not doing good because people are going to say, oh, you're so good, you're so wonderful, but doing good because you love yourself. And it feels good to do good. And sometimes you do good and the person can't appreciate it or they don't understand it, but you don't get angry, you get upset, because ultimately you did it because it was good to do. It was the right thing to do for you because you love yourself. Yeah. So getting to that, we have to clean out, if you will, the blocks and the barriers to loving ourselves. And so I'm starting off with one of the biggest blocks and barriers to loving ourselves, and that has to do with forgiveness. And not doing forgiveness, holding on to anger, resentment, judgment, shame, blame, guilt, all of that. Holding on to that emotional pain about something that was done to us or something we may have done to someone or in a particular situation. The way to let that go is through the practice of forgiveness. You know, again, normally when we think about forgiveness, we think like, okay, I'm going to say I'm sorry, or somebody's going to tell me they're sorry. And then it's almost like the bad thing that happened, like never happened, like it doesn't matter. And that's not true. That's not what forgiveness is really about. It's not about letting anybody off the hook. It's not about saying what was wrong is now right. No, 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 no. What it's doing is saying, we don't have to stay in pain about it. We can move out of the pain of that experience, of that situation, and back to the love of ourselves. Yeah. So that, again, we can be able to be loving to other people. We can be able to choose the love over the fear when we're put in a situation where we're required to do that. You know, when we don't practice forgiveness, we are so shutting down to our experience of having our happy endings in life, being fulfilled in life, drawing to us the people who can support us in that happiness. Because when you haven't done your forgiveness work, you're a very sour person. Yeah, there's a sourness that goes on, that comes out, and you may not even be conscious of it. There's a new movie out called It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, which is a Mr. Rogers story, a real life story, and it has to do with a man who was assigned to do an article on him, and this man has a lot of hesitation, and also he's kind of like, yeah, is this guy real or what? Is he just putting on this goody two shoes thing and all this love and stuff? What's going on here? You know, so he's kind of, you know, in judgment of Mr. Rogers. And in the story, we learn how Mr. Rogers is able to be of service to this person and get them to forgiveness. And there's this really great scene where Mr. Rogers is talking to this man, and, you know, the man's got some daddy drama. You know, there'd be some mommy drama, daddy drama, right, if you have a person be so sour. And Mr. Rogers' response to this person as they're, you know, making a comment about their father, making a judgment statement or blame statement, and Mr. Rogers says basically, you know, if it wasn't for that experience, you wouldn't be who you are today. And I think he said something like, think about all the people who have helped you become who you are today and how they've helped you become who you are today. You know, something like that. And, you know, what's so beautiful about that is that that's the basis for forgiveness, is to honor that whatever happened to you or whatever you may have done that was not a nice thing, okay, that there is treasure in that. And if you don't move into forgiveness, if you don't move into transforming that pain, then you can't get to that treasure. Yeah. You know, because when we've done something where we've hurt somebody else, and it can be, you know, very much in the extreme. Like, again, the example of the police officer in Texas, the female police officer went into a man's apartment and she kills him and is forgiven by the man's brother. But she's got to do her forgiveness work and do some kind of repentance, right? She's got to do some kind of repentance. That's going to be the anecdote for her. She does her forgiveness work. You know, if she doesn't do her forgiveness work, she'll be in bad shape. She will not be in good shape. And the young man, who was doing his forgiveness work with her, he was really letting go of carrying that pain. He was saying, no, I'm not going to take on your pain. Because when somebody does something harmful, hurtful, not nice to another person, that's transferring pain. That's a transference of pain. Yeah. And so you can transform that pain through the practice of forgiveness. And again, as I said, it's not about letting somebody off the hook. It's not about, no, this never happened. It is removing yourself from being burdened, from being weighted down from being closed off from your joy, from your happiness, because of the pain that you're carrying. Yeah. So let me ask you some contemplative questions to think about to get at where you may need to practice some forgiveness. And I also want to say, you know, as human beings, this is just part of our journey. We're going to hurt and we're going to do hurt in some way, shape, form, or another. And so forgiveness becomes sort of, you know, like our daemon, you know, the thing that has to stay close to us, you know, like we need to always have forgiveness in our midst because it's just part of our human journey. Yeah. So here's some contemplative questions. Number one, I want you to think about who are the skeletons in your family closet? And of course, by that I mean, what happened in your family that people try to hide, they don't want to talk about, they can't remember all of it, but there's something not right. Could be a family member whose name comes up and it's like, oh, Lord, don't mention that name. Mm-mm. You know, like there's something going on. Yeah. And it's an interesting, every family has it. Yeah. Because of the core wounds and the family wounds. So think about that. Who are the skeletons in the family closet? Because that needs to be forgiven. That needs to be forgiven. And even if it's something that didn't happen directly to you, you can still include that in your forgiveness practice. Yeah. Next question. Who are the people and or situations you believe you can never forgive or are having a hard time forgiving? Yeah, think about that. And it's interesting how there can be something there that you're not even conscious of, but then something happens and it comes up. And that happened to me earlier this year around an opportunity that had come to me to do some work. And in that whole process, it brought up my remembering my experience in elementary school with a teacher who I had for years blamed as why I had to leave the school that I love and go to this other school where I was bullied and treated like, you know, I was disposable. And I didn't realize until I was looking through, I still have one of my report cards from, this was in the fourth grade, and I see her name and this energy just kind of grabbed hold of me, this pain showed up, and I was like, oh my God, I am still pissed at Miss Lynch. I am still wanting to lynch her for lynching me, you know. And so I had to do some work. Because I was like, wait, I do not need that lurking in my subconscious because all I'm going to do is call up another Miss Lynch into my life so that I really have to deal with it. No, I'm going to deal with it now. And I did. I did forgiveness work to let that go and really to honor her as an evolutionary teacher. And if I hadn't gone through that, I definitely wouldn't be who and where I am today. So think about that. Who are those people? Some of them may come to your mind right away, but there may be some that are kind of lurking from childhood that you still are holding on to that pain. Yeah. And then the third and last contemplative question for you is, for what do you find it hard to forgive yourself? Again, for what do you find it hard to forgive yourself? So what is it that you are still ashamed of in your life? What is it that you are still blaming yourself for because something went wrong or things didn't work out or you didn't get what you thought you were supposed to get, whatever? What do you find that's hard? Where is it that you're carrying pain over something that you're not proud of about yourself, or you don't like about yourself because you did that? And so take your time with those questions. Again, skeletons in the family closet, people or situations you think you could never forgive or having a hard time forgiving. And then where is it that you need to forgive yourself for something that you did or said or experienced? Yeah. So here's the challenge for this week. It is a fire ritual, which is a spiritual practice for transforming pain with fire, basically, making a faith gesture that you're ready to transform the pain you're carrying through the grace of forgiveness. Yeah. So basically, you're going to write out on a piece of paper your answers to those questions that I shared, and then you're going to roll that paper up and tie it up with a beautiful ribbon or string. Spirit loves beauty. And you're going to place it overnight on your ancestor altar. And you can very quickly create one by using a piece of red cloth, a red candle, and pictures or items that belong to your ancestors. And of course, as you're placing your paper onto the altar, you're going to ask your ancestors to help guide you through this experience of forgiveness. Now, the next day, you will burn the paper in a sacred manner at your earliest convenience. And by sacred manner, I mean remembering to call on your God, your spirit guides, your angels, your ancestors to guide you safely through the process of releasing that pain and receiving that grace of forgiveness. And within 3 days to a week, you should notice something shifted. Yeah. In both my experience and that what other people I've worked with, they'll say that they woke up and it felt like something had left, something was gone, like, or they felt lighter. They just had a consciousness that something they were carrying was no longer there. Yeah. It's like a very visceral experience of the shift. So you want to look for that. And now you can refer to chapter 20 in my book, The Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery, straight over me, for more details and support about the fire ritual and forgiveness. Let me also remind you that this personal challenge will be listed in the box below the YouTube video. I will also post it on my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to my channel and hit the bell to receive all the notices when I post the new videos. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow, we have come to the close of this beginning work on ourselves to prepare for 2020, for this forgiveness practice, and just encourage you to do it wholeheartedly because it will really, really make a difference. The cleaner we can enter into this new decade, meaning not carrying old pain and feelings and beliefs from the past, because none of that will serve us. None of it will serve us for what is coming. Yeah. And the cleaner you are, the less resistance you'll have to the change, and the more you'll be able to participate from a place of love rather than fear. Yeah. So, to close out, I want to begin by thanking my wonderful engineer, Ms. Yvette Parker, and a big shout out to all of the Black Hole Radio Be Well family. And again, thank you, thank you, thank you for being my platform and making sure that I'm able to do this important work every week. I also want to shout out to all my regular listeners and watchers out there, especially to Ms. Sarah, who has reached age 95, healthier than last year, and full of excitement for new things. She is ready for this next decade. Oh, yeah, she's ready. And to all of you who have wisdom walked with me, and you know who you are, big shout out to all of the staff of the Alma Center. And thank you again for allowing me to come and love on you in the way that I did. I had such a fabulous time and look forward to continuing to be of service to you. To my family, my spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues and medicine brothers and sisters all around the globe, and those of you who may be listening or watching for the first time, thank you, thank you, thank you. I could not do this work without your support. Now, next week I will continue December's theme of preparation for 2020 with Make Peace with Your Past. Natural next step after the forgiveness work, right? Again, my Facebook page is Wisdom Walk Radio, my YouTube channel, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. And last but not least, I want to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides and loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Have a wonderful, flexible nature week coming up. Open up your heart to that Venus energy that's coming through and all these other wonderful aspects astrologically, astronomically. And most important, please remember, you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now.
I hope you enjoy Convergence, and thanks again for sharing this part of your lives with us. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.